Father, bless these words to our hearts and give us a portion from Your heart. In Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Starting in verse 6, the Word of God says, "For Thou art a holy people unto the Lord Thy God." Did you realize, by the way, that you are a holy people? That you have been separated unto Him for a special purpose? That you have been called out before the world began for a special purpose? That your life was designed by God with a purpose in mind? A purpose that would, one, get you to know Him, two, that would glorify Him, three, that would get other people to know Him as well. You have a purpose in your life, and you have been sanctified by God unto a purpose. You are a holy people. "For Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself." So we are not only separated unto God, not only sanctified, but we are unto God. He has separated us and taken us unto Himself. He has not put us into the world to be unto the world, but He has put us into the world to be unto Him, so that we may be a testimony in the world of His character. Not because of our natural production and human goodness, but in the production of His character in our life. So that we have a cup that runs over and spills out. Don't try to spill out unless you have something in your cup. Have you ever taken a cup and you thought there was something in it and you wanted to drink, but there was nothing there, and it was a little bit disappointing? This is like the believer who the world comes to find God, but there is nothing there, and it's a little bit disappointing. And they are thirsty and they hunger and they want to find a difference. They want to find God in that believer. But there is nothing there. And so the world says, "Oh, no different than me." Because that is a believer who has not been separated unto God. God separated them in their position, but in their choices, through their free volition, in their experience, they have separated themselves back unto the world from God. Where God separates us unto Himself from the world. And so they are empty, but because they are empty, just like Adam and Eve, they make themselves these fig leaves and they call it religion. And so they pretend to be clothed even though they are naked. Did you notice that nobody wears fig leaves? There's not very many cultures that I can think of in history that had fig leaves as an apparel. I mean, I've heard of some wearing straw, maybe, but I think even that was ceremonial. What do they wear? They wear skin. Right? They wear things made of skin. Because a skin is a real garment, and a skin is a picture of what Christ has done for us, and it's a proper covering. The finished work is my covering, and the Word of God is my source and my provision, and the Holy Spirit is my guide and my encouragement. I can't pour out an empty cup. If you try it, you can stand there all day shaking the cup upside down. Nothing's going to come. I can't pour out an empty cup. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth, we are a special people unto Him above all the people that are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. He did not choose us or separate us or do anything for us because we were somehow great, because we had some ability, because we had something in our natural person. We do not have that. We are the least of all people. Not many noble and not many wise, not many rich, right? Isn't that what the Savior said? Not many of those enter the kingdom of heaven. Not many of those have Christ as their government, grace as their government, Christ as their head, the Spirit as their empowerment, and the love of God as their heart with the Word of God as their mind. Not many of those. So He did not choose us because we were great. You know why He chose us? Because we live on the island of misfit toys. Isn't that us? We're the church of misfit. We should change our name. We are the church of misfit toys. Because we did not find our portion in the world. And if we had found our portion in the world, we found that it did not satisfy us. And to the world, we are nothing more than misfit toys. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them. But to us, it's life. Right? The cross of God, of Christ is our power, is our life. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This is the believer. We are Israel, spiritually speaking. We are the seed of Abraham. This is the believer. Because God loved you, this is the reason why. Because God loved you. And there is a promise in your name. And because God loved you, He brought you out from the world. He brought you out from the bondage of the world, from the slave market of sin. He brought you out because He loved you for no other reason, just because He loved you. Do you get this? It wasn't because of your righteousness or something in you or your ability, your talent, your gift. It was for one reason only. Because He loved you. If you are born again, it is because God loved you. That is all. Why? He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. But you did not choose Him. You may say to Him, I am born again because I chose God. I said, yes, God, I'll receive you as my Savior. And while in a sense that may be true in your experience, it did take a volitional component, but you did not choose Him. He chose you. He drew you. You did not draw yourself to Him. He drew you. Why? Because He loved you. And that is the only reason. He didn't care what your talent or your gift or your money are. He just loved you. And that's it right there. He just loved you. In Romans 5:5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. Hope in what? Hope in the promises of God. If you put your hope, what is hope? It's not wishful thinking. We've talked about this before. What is hope? Hope is that confident expectation, because I know what God has said is so. I know His promises are true. I know if He said it, it will come to pass. I know that if He gave a promise, He'll be good to the promise. He'll make it happen. My hope is not in my ability to see or analyze or understand or figure it out. My hope is in the One who gave the promise, in His ability to be true to His Word. And there is my hope. My hope is in the promises of God because of the character of God. There is my hope. And I have an expectation and I have a confidence in that hope. By the way, if you ever come across a challenge in your life, ask God for a promise. He's got more than enough to choose from. And if you can't find one in there, then the Holy Spirit can speak to your heart and give you a promise for your circumstances. This is where our hope lies. And that hope does not make ashamed. I will never be ashamed for hoping in Christ. I will never be ashamed for trusting His promises. I will never be ashamed for trusting His character. The world may think I am insane, but the world is going to hell. The world is lost and they are in the hands of the evil one. They will say, you are crazy for trusting God. But I got news for you. They are crazy for not trusting. They are psychotic. Why are they psychotic? Because by definition, they are out of touch with reality. And that is psychosis. Well, God is reality. And if I am not hoping in Him, then I'm having an element and an episode of psychosis. I'm having a psychotic moment. That's what doubt is. Doubt is a psychotic moment. Fortunately, God forgives me my psychotic moments because they are sin and He deals with it just like any other sin. Don't live in psychotic moments. That should be the message. That should be the title of this. Don't live in psychotic moments. I trust God because God is trustworthy. And He's the only one who is. By the way, your own ability is not trustworthy. Let's say that you have some great gift. Let's say you are a great painter or a great artist. Is your talent trustworthy? Michelangelo. I'm using efficiency of speech. That's right. Michael da Vinci, both of those guys, if they went blind, which they could have easily gone, I mean, it happens to people. It used to happen more than it happens nowadays. Do you think that their gift would still maintain them? They were only one fall off of a horse from it. Right? Really? You knock yourself in the head and there it goes. God shows you because He loves you. Simple as that. God shows you because He loves you. Plain and simple. God shows you because He loves you. And He sheds that love abroad in your heart. How does God shed that love abroad in your heart? Through the hope that you have in His promises. He comes through with His promises to show you that He loves you. And He sheds that love abroad in your heart through your hope in His promises. In Deuteronomy 15 and verse 16, "And it shall be, if he say unto you, I will not go away from thee, because he loved thee and thine house, because he will dwell with thee." God's going to stay with you and He will not forsake you because He loves you. God's not ever going to leave you because He loves you. And even if you make your bed in hell, God is going to be there with you because He loves you. Do you understand the potency of this? Do you understand the meaning of this? That the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe who spoke it into being, He loves you. And so He gave you these promises. And so He gives you His faithfulness. And so He gives you the kingdom. And so He makes you His bride because He loves you. God has chosen to make you His bride. Do you get that? You think about human beings. And when they choose to marry, God has chosen you and God loves with a perfect love, not with an imperfect love. God doesn't get tired of you. Your spouse might get tired of you, but God doesn't get tired of you. Somebody in your family, their love may fail towards you. The person you marry, their love may fail toward you, but God's love does not fail you because He loves you with a perfect love. He created you for that purpose, so that He could love you. Do you get that? You're here because God, you want evidence of the love of God? Look in the mirror. You are here. You see something looking back at you. And you may think it's a train wreck, but it's God's train wreck. And He loves you. He loves that train wreck. God did it because He loves you. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23, "At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." God gives you His commandment to love, to receive love from Him, in fact. And then He gives you the doctrine to teach you about His heart towards you because He loves you. He wants you to know that He loves you. He wants you to be supremely confident. What is vision? Consider the vision. Vision is divine instruction. And He gives it to you because He loves you. The whole Bible can be summed up in three words. Unfortunately, those are the three words the world has turned into a trite bumper sticker cliche. But they are the most profound truth of the universe. They were the motivation of God for creating everything, and they were the motivation of God for sending His Son to the cross. Never become familiar with it. God loves you. And it's because He loves you that He has done all these things. It's because He loves you that you are even breathing. He loves you. He makes His home in you because He loves you. You live with someone who you are married to because you love them. God makes His home in you. He doesn't live with you, He lives in you because He loves you. In Deuteronomy 23 verse 5, "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee." Don't you realize whatever it is that goes wrong in your life, God's going to turn the curse into a blessing because He loves you? So many people fret about the difficulties and the trials of their lives. So many people fret about the things that seemingly go wrong. And they did go wrong. But you know what? God's going to make them go right because He loves you. And if there's someone like Balaam who wants to curse you, God's not going to allow it because He loves you. If there's someone who wants to discourage you, God's going to not allow it. God's going to give you truth from His Word because He loves you. God's going to send people to edify you because He loves you. God's going to put you into a body because He loves you. God's going to give you a pastor because He loves you. God's going to give you promises because He loves you. God's going to be faithful to those promises because He loves you. You are loved by God. God. I think sometimes we have such a small image of God, like He is something that can fit in my mind. It's God that loves you. I wonder if the name was longer, if people would appreciate it more. If it had like 47 letters in it. But He made it simple so that you could know it. Never become familiar with the simplicity of the love of God. It's simply there because it's there because He loves you. He does it all because He loves you. God may send a challenge into your life, but it's because He loves you. To cause you to grow, to be conformed to His image, to cause you to draw near to Him, to show you your need for Him, because He loves you. He came to you, now will you come to Him? I mean, Christ died with His arms open, will you go into those arms? He loves you. Your name is in the nail scars in His hands, because He loves you. Isaiah 43, "Thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee, therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy lives." Did you realize that God sends people for your life? He does. God sends people for your life. He adds people to your life. He gives you people. He gives you a family. He gives you godly friends. He gives you a local assembly. He gives you people for your life. He loves you. And that's why. And that's the only reason why. He didn't do it because you have something to contribute. What does He need from you? I have nothing to offer Him. I'm a little bit dusty. That's just the way He made me. I have nothing to offer Him, but He loves you. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has appeared unto me of old, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. Because God loves you, He's always going to approach you with loving kindness. Did you realize God will never approach you with any other heart than a heart of loving kindness? Do you know this? Do you believe it? Well, it's in your Bible. God will never approach you with any heart other than a heart of loving kindness. You may fall on your face, but in Romans 14:4, He's going to pick you right back up. He's going to make you stand. And you may completely do everything wrong like David did, but you're still going to be seated on a throne. Because He loves you. And that's all that's to it. God simply loves you. Don't ever let those words ring hollow in your ears. It is, in fact, the greatest truth that has ever been spoken. It is the Word of God. It is the entire heart of God. It is the essence of His being. This is, I think, why the enemy makes those words into a bumper sticker cliche. So people see them so much, they no longer pay attention. But the fact that the world has abused it does not mean it is any less true. He loves you. And because He loves you, He does everything for you. 2 Corinthians 2:14, for the love of God constrain us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all are dead. Do you realize what that means? That Christ died for me because He loved me, and because He loved me, I died with Him. So that I would not have to die without Him. Do you realize if I did not die with Him, I die without Him? He did it because He loves you. And now I have everlasting life because He loves you. And now He takes me to be His bride into the eternal kingdom, into the new Jerusalem, into heaven because He loves you. He loves you. Why don't you say, God loves me. Go ahead, say it. God loves me.
God loves me.
Say it again. God loves me.
God loves me.
Say it again. God loves me.
God loves me.
Believe it this time. God loves me. Go ahead.
God loves me.
Nobody believed it. I'm going home now. And hereby we perceive the love of God. 1 John 3:16. Because He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Why do I take it when somebody is unkind to me, and I return kindness for unkindness? Because He loves me. Because He'll be faithful to me. Because if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. And if somebody has of a poor spirit, if somebody is of a poor character, if somebody is impoverished in their heart, but you give to them anyway, don't you realize that you are lending to God? And He owes you back what you have given them? Be careful what you give to a person like that. God will repay it. So you love that person when they are unlovely. And you are kind to them when they do not deserve it. And you serve them when they are ungrateful. Why? Because He did the same for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. He did the same for us. Why? Because He loves us. And so we do the same because He loves us. And when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. And He will repay us in kindness. And He will repay us in mercy. And He will repay us in gentleness. And He will repay us in the love of God. He will repay in kind. And He is good to His debts towards us. You want to get God to be in debt to you? Give to the poor. You want God to be kind to you? Give to those who do not deserve your kindness. You want to get God to give you gentleness? Be gentle to those who are unworthy. Be loving to those who are unlovely. Be patient with those who do not deserve patience but deserve harshness. And God will repay you in kind. It's because He loves you. And when you know, when you have this ability, when you have it in your heart, the love of God shed abroad, so that when someone is unlovely, you are kind and loving towards them, then you know that you have passed from death unto eternal life in your experience. Isn't that what 1 John 3:14 says? For we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. When you manifest the character of God, then your experience is gone from death unto life. There are many believers who are not there yet for various reasons. Sometimes simple immaturity. Sometimes simple need to grow. But sometimes because of a hardened and rebellious heart also. And they will not be kind. And they will not be gentle. And they will not be sweet in their home. And they will be reactionary. And they will live in their moods and in their emotions. And they will be negative. Because in their experience they are still living in the death of the old man. They have not passed from death unto life. But when you start fellowshipping with the love of God, when you start fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is produced in your heart, then you are kind to the unkind and loving toward the unlovely. And you have passed from death unto life. A soft answer turns away wrath. And you've done that person a favor because they were in bondage to their wrath. And you gave them a soft answer. Do you realize what that is? That's the love of God flowing through a person. It's the cup being tipped over and something is coming out with abundance. God's going to tip your cup over just to show you what's on the inside. How else are you going to know what's on the inside? God will tip your cup over. Then He'll fill it. And then He'll tip it over again. And then He'll fill it even more. And as He's tipping it over, the capacity within the cup is constantly growing. Why? Because the love of God is being shed abroad in your heart. Why? Because He loves you. It's all because He loves you. First John 4:9, "And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." We live through the cross because He loves us. Don't you realize the cross is your provision for the life of God? You can experience God's life, the entire... Can you imagine the life of God? Can you imagine the grandeur and the glory and the beauty and the splendor and the power and the majesty of the life of God? Like, think about it. Like, right now, what does He see? Right, what does He see? He sees the angels and he sees the river and the trees of life on the sides of the river that's going out from the... And He sees your hearts. And He sees eternity past, and He sees eternity future, and He sees all there is at right now. And He sees your mind and your thoughts and your hearts and everybody else on the planet. And He sees it all. He sees the beginning and He sees the end. He sees before the beginning and He sees after the end. He sees the beauty that it takes to make something like a flower or a man or a horse. He sees what it takes. He sees, He has the intricate knowledge and the understanding, and He has the ability to make it come alive. And this is the life that we have through Him, through the cross. That is our life. This is why Jesus said, greater things than these will you do. Because He gives us that life and He indwells us. And He is alive in us and He shares His life with us. Because He loves us. People fight the cross because they are self-indulgent and they try to preserve themselves, but they're preserving themselves unto death. They're preserving themselves unto bondage and to misery and to bad emotions and to hang-ups and insecurities and to complexes. That's all you get when you preserve your self-life. You preserve a sick head, faint heart, putrefying sores. Most people go to the doctor to get rid of them, but some believers preserve them. I like my putrefying sores. That's what people do, really. That's what people do. And they preserve their self-life and they wonder why they are miserable, why they are lonely, why they cannot cope, why they are confused. Because there is no cross in your life. But the cross of Christ is the entryway into the life of God. Don't you get it? Your life starts there. It doesn't end there, it starts there, but believers treat the cross as though their life ends there. It doesn't end, it begins. You didn't have one before the cross. That's where you're a little confused. You thought you had one before the cross, just because your flesh is living. Your bios life is not eternal, your Zoe life is. That believers are so occupied with the bios that the Zoe, the life of God in them, the life that was breathed into them by the Holy Spirit and they were born again, that goes out the window because they're so concerned with the shell. They're so concerned with the shell. Don't be so concerned with the shell. I mean, paint the barn if it needs to be painted, but don't be so concerned with the shell. You know, how many people have 50,000 pairs of shoes in their closet and 7,000 dresses and 5,000 suits and ties and all these things because they are so concerned with the shell. They're out there all the time being concerned with the shell. And there's nothing wrong with getting yourself nice clothes. That's not what I mean. What I mean, though, is that that is not your occupation. That is not your life. That is just your shell. Do you get it? It's just the shell. God so greatly, dearly, greatly loved and dearly prized. This is in the Amplified. God so greatly loved and dearly prized. Did you realize God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world? He prized it. It was His treasure. It was a gem in His heart. It was a treasure to Him. God, who could create anything, so dearly prized and so greatly loved the world. And He gave His Son, and yet just the one. Parents, or anybody for that matter, but parents in particular, who would you give your children for? Honestly, think about it sincerely and honestly. And those of you who are not parents, you can certainly put yourself in their shoes, at least in your imagination. Who would you give your children for? Well, God so greatly loved and dearly prized because He loved you. And He gave that one child that He had because He loved you. Why? Because that's who He is. Then the love of God is shed abroad, and we love Him because He loves us. This is why we trust His promises. This is why we trust His. This is why we do things like go to church. This is why we soul win. This is why we do what we do as believers. Because God loves you. Simple as that. Everything He has ever done, from the creation of the universe, from the eternal plan on forward, from eternity past to eternity future, it was all because He loves you. And that's the only reason why. That's it, right there. Amen.